Age, what's happening?
Hey, not much. How are you?
I'm good. Jason Spezza, do you know, would Edmonton be on the list of 10 teams that he won't be traded to?
I mean, I would have to think it would. And I mean, nothing against the city, nothing against anything like that. But, I mean, just when you look at the Oilers Hockey Club right now, I mean, if you're Jason Spezza and you've probably got another 3 or 4 years left in the prime of your career, maybe longer, but, I mean, he's had some injury troubles, I would think you'd want to go to a place that you're going to be a winner, and you know, who knows how long that's going to be in Edmonton. And to me, the second big thing when it comes to Jason Spezza is he's been so underappreciated in Ottawa. So to have to go from the fire here in Ottawa, I mean, I work 2/3 of the pre and post game shows for the Senators throughout the season, and he's a whipping boy, and at times it can be warranted. But a lot of the times, it's not warranted. I mean, I think back 2 years ago when they were eliminated in the first round of the playoffs by the New York Rangers. He had a terrific season. He was fourth in NHL scoring. I thought he had a pretty good playoff that year. And a lot of the blame, once again, was going to Jason Spezza. And so, I mean, that's kind of been his world here in Ottawa. So I'm not sure why he'd want to go to another Canadian market where he'd be under that type of scrutiny. Yeah, I'm sure there might be a couple of different Canadian markets where he'd put that team on the list because they're contenders, but a non-contender where he could potentially be the whipping boy once again like he is here. I think he needs a fresh start, and to me, while Edmonton would seem to be a fit in terms of the Oilers looking for that elite number one center, while they continue to develop a player like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, for other reasons, to me, it just wouldn't seem like a fit.
Yeah, okay. I would agree. What do you think they are looking for in return? Because Bobby Ryan cost them what turns out to be a top 10 first-round pick. Spezza only has 1 year left on his deal, AJ. What do you think the Senators would need to make that move?
Yeah, I think probably something similar to the package that they gave up for Bobby Ryan, and that is a player that can help them, a prospect, and a first-round pick. Now, obviously, depending on what you get back, if you get a real high-end prospect or a real high-end pick, then, you know, maybe you only need two pieces. But something along those lines, two or three pieces, because, I mean, you're not going to make a one-for-one with Jason Spezza. I mean, there just doesn't seem to be too many other players of that ilk around the league that are going to be up for grabs. So, to me, kind of that two or three-for-one to get at least somebody that's going to help you now and then potentially a prospect and a pick.
AJ Jakubek joins us. Alish Hemsky, I don't expect him to re-sign in Ottawa. I fully expect him to test the market. Do you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, to me, the only way he re-signs in Ottawa is if he tests the market. It's July 1st, and the best offer comes from Ottawa, and it's dramatically better than what he'll get elsewhere. I mean, I think he wants to play in a winner, and, you know, he hasn't made the playoffs since, of course, the Oilers went on that run in 2006, so I think he'd obviously like to play on a winner. I think the Senators, to me, could be headed in the right direction, but there's still a lot of question marks here in terms of how quickly this team is going to be a playoff team year after year after year. And, you know, for Alish Hemsky, that would be a question mark for sure. So I wouldn't rule the Senators out in terms of possible destinations post July 1st, because I do think Brian Murray values what he brought to the table terms of speed and skill, and of course just having played in the area before, a bit of a fit there with when he played with the old Hull Olympiques. But again, I would suspect he will test the market. That's kind of how he left it at the exit interview with the media at the end of the season. And if the Senators dramatically give him the best offer, then it'll certainly give him something to think about.
AJ, what's interesting about Jason Spezza, the team that might be the best fit for him is the Anaheim Ducks, funny enough.
Yeah, I think some of the teams that I've heard that have been kicking tires and certainly been interested, Colorado's one. I mean, to me, Colorado doesn't seem as big a fit as some of the other teams, but Anaheim, St. Louis, Nashville. I mean, we were talking today, I mean, on Jason York and Steve Lloyd's radio show, and Jason's very familiar with the Nashville Predators and that market, having played there as a Predator. And I mean, how many players of that ilk offensively have the the actual Predators had in their career. I mean, they had guys like Paul Kariya and Peter Forsberg, but they were past their prime and a little bit injury-prone when they got there. I mean, a guy like Radulov was sensational his first couple of years there before he bolted for the KHL, but they haven't had that elite top-line center. I mean, David Legault's been a pretty good soldier and a pretty good second-line guy for them, but he's been a player that franchise has been lacking for so many years. I mean, St. Louis, they don't have that game-breaking guy. They've got, you know, one of the best defense cores in the league. They've got a lot of good forwards, a lot of hard-nosed guys. But David Backes suits the number two center role probably a lot more than the number one center role. So, I mean, Spezza would seem to be a pretty good fit there. And yeah, Anaheim, I mean, you can think of so many different possibilities with the Ducks. If you're talking about a prospect, a player, and a pick, I mean, Anaheim's got two picks to deal with. So, I mean, if they gave Ottawa their pick back and threw in a defenseman and a pretty good forward amongst the group that they have, then you could see some sort of fit there. I think we'll wait and see what happens with the Ducks and their playoff run. I mean, the earlier they lose, the probably a better situation it is for Brian Murray and the Ottawa Senators. That's why I think St. Louis is so intriguing, because that just seemed to be what was lacking from the Blues the last few years in their playoff exits, that game-breaking type forward that can break a game open in the playoffs.
AJ Jakubek joins us from TSN 1200. AJ, you talked earlier about being underappreciated. Dion Phaneuf might be a player who's underappreciated at times. Conversely, maybe early in his career was overrated at times. You see a lot of Phaneuf. I know the Leafs have said they're not shopping him, but they'd be open to discussions to move him. Is Phaneuf a low-end number one in your mind? Is he a number two? What type of defenseman is he, and what would teams be getting if they got him?
It's a great question. I thought he really struggled in the second half of the season. He kind of mirrored the season that the Leafs had. I mean, I think he's still a guy that can be a valuable defenseman in the National Hockey League and, you know, can play on any team, but I certainly don't think he's a true number one. I mean, the further down the depth chart that he is a number two, then, you know, or even a number three, then I think that's where he'd be a little bit more valuable, where you can shield him a little bit more, you know, work his matchups a little bit better and play him fewer minutes, because, you know, he certainly wasn't afforded that luxury in Toronto, and I think his play really slipped partially because of that. So, I mean, he's going to be a valuable guy. There's going to be a lot of interest, I'm sure, in Dion Phaneuf. But, again, that's going to be a type of scenario. Are you going to get back the same type of player that you would for Phaneuf? I mean, you're probably looking at two or three pieces back the other way because I'm not sure you can make a one-on-one deal that really makes sense where you're going to get equal value back.
Hey, give me your thoughts on Portland Oil Kings. I know you're still watching junior hockey. Do you got to go with the home team tonight based on history, or what do you think the Oil Kings can do to get the upset?
Well, you know what? I'm going to do a little heart over head here today because, still hoping that the Oil Kings can pull it off. And I like the fact that there's a lot of character there. There's a lot of players that have been through this here for 3 years. I think most teams, if this was their first league final and they had that opportunity to wrap it up and blew it as they did yesterday, then maybe I'd write them off completely and say, okay, well, game seven, it's going to be fait accompli. But, you know, with these two franchises, I mean, they've been so close playing in these three Western Hockey League finals for the last 3 years, and now it comes down to one game. And, you know, I think there's definitely going to have to be a real strong job done by Derek Baxtell and Steve Hamilton and Randy Hanch and the whole crew just to get these guys positive and say, hey, you got another chance here. It's game seven, an opportunity to win this series. They're down 2-0 in the series. So at 2-0, would you take that game seven? And I think absolutely you would. So, you know, with guys like Griffin Reinhart, Mitch Moraz, and Curtis Lazar, and Henrik Samuelsson that have been through this multiple times before, I think those are the guys that are going to have to lead the way. And it's going to be a fun one to watch. The thing I worry, though, I mean, this seven-game series, I know they didn't have, the toughest of tests before this, but, you know, this seven-game series and now the Memorial Cup starting on the weekend, and I, having seen a lot of London and Guelph this year, we're talking about two very good and very deep hockey teams. London, a team that's been rested since the end of the second round when they lost to Guelph, And then Guelph, who steamrolled through the entire OHL playoffs, having won the OHL final in five against North Bay. So I just wonder if whoever wins this series, when all is said and done and they travel east and across multiple time zones, if they're going to have enough over the course of a long tournament, enough gas in the tank to compete with two very good teams in London and Guelph.
Age, always good to catch up with you. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Jason.